Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 16. God is looking for you. Will He find you? Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on April 8th, 2018.
A series of messages that are based, I'm kind of calling the theme Theology Made Easy. I don't know if you can make theology easy, but I think probably we've made things too complicated. And Jesus had a way of keeping things easy so that people could understand and so that we could follow, you know, Him and follow what He was directing. So my endeavor is to really get to some of those places in this series of messages. One of the things that struck me as I was thinking about this was that there are a lot of places in the Bible where Jesus had an encounter with a person or with several people, and just some kind of one-line messages came out that were just transformational, life-changing, to the point, just something that really, really, and sometimes in some odd places, in some different ways, just but really, really impacted not just that person, but every generation since. And when we go back to those places in the Bible, we see those, you know, those one-liners that He gave, or those phrases, or those the concept that He gave to that person or to those people that He was encountering, and our lives are changed as a result of it as well. And so those are the kinds of things we want to consider in this series of messages. It also took me back to some times just to thinking about the message for today, just some times, some experiences that I've had myself, because today we want to talk about the importance of worship and what Jesus taught about worship. And already here in the service, we've experienced some over-the-top kind of worship and, you know, felt the presence of God and felt His tug at our heart to have a relationship with us in a greater way, a way that just really connects with Him. And a number of years ago, I was away from home. I was 10,000 miles away from home exactly, pretty much. And I was kind of, it was a difficult time because the ministry I was in, we were experiencing some really, really strong difficulties. And I was supposed to fix those things, and there was a lot of pressure on me to do it and to get the job done. And I'd been away from home for 30 days. And I woke up one morning just feeling dead inside. I didn't have anything more to give. I just was done because things hadn't gone right the week before. And it didn't look like they were going to go very well the next week. And it was a weekend, and I should be thinking about worshiping God. And I'd gone to a church service, and in that church service, I found myself, during the praise time, I was mouthing the words, but I wasn't even really making any sound. And I was looking like I was worshiping God, but I was 10,000 miles away. I just wasn't there. There was nothing left. And I just felt that emptiness inside of, what in the world are you doing? Why are you here? And what's the purpose of this whole thing anyway? And it just hit me that day that, you know, something needed to change. And if something didn't change, I was finished. I was finished with the ministry. I was maybe finished with a lot of things because I was dead inside. And maybe it's kind of like being on the backside of the desert, you know. And maybe there's some areas in your life today where you're kind of on the backside of the desert, you know, where something has died and needs to come back to life, or where maybe there never was something, that there needs to be something. Maybe you're in that place today. Maybe you're reaching out. Maybe God brought you here for this purpose this morning, just to say, you know, Lord, something needs to change in my life, and sometimes I can't see exactly what should change. Probably it's me, but most likely it's me. And lots of times we blame everybody else for stuff that's going on, but usually, you know, it comes back to me. And maybe you just hear that you need a refreshing this morning. You need some kind of a booster shot in your spirit to bring you to a place of, I really want to worship God. I really can worship God. So I'm hoping, I'm believing that the message that I bring this morning will help you with that in that hard place that you're in. If everything's good, one of the things I've found in life is there's always more. Amen. Because God is so much greater and He's so much bigger than all of our stuff that He never runs out of surprises. He never runs out of blessing. He never runs out of ways to really just take us to another level. And so whatever your condition is, whatever your situation is, let's believe together for God to take us to that next level, to that next step of our relationship with Him. Because really, God wants to put a spirit of praise back into us if we've lost it. If we haven't lost it, He wants to make it greater and better and more powerful connection with Him. Because that's why He sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be everything to us that Jesus was to His disciples. And so we're believing for that today. One of the things I learned out of that experience was that when I began to recognize what my problem was, or part of my problem was, is that I just wasn't even putting anything into praising God and worshiping God, is one of the discoveries I made, or rediscoveries I made, was that when you come to God and worship and praise, it shuts the mouth of the enemy. Amen. And one of our biggest issues when we're going through something is that, you know, that little voice, that thing that's sitting on your shoulder, or sometimes clamped around your head, or speaking through the person who's sent to you just to be your thorn in the flesh, the person who just pushes your buttons all the time. One of the things that I learned is that praise, when it's regenerated inside of you, it shuts the mouth of the enemy. And, you know, Jesus, He left heaven. He was God. He is God. He left heaven, but He left all of that behind Him, and He became a human. And the Bible says one of the reasons is because He was to experience everything that we experience. Go through all the kinds of things that we go through, so that he knew the suffering, He knew the pain, He knew the difficulties, He knew the temptations, He knew the trials, He knew all of those things and experienced them. And then He took all of our failings and faults and all of those things to the cross. The Bible says our iniquities, our sins, our transgressions were nailed to the cross with Him, so that He could bring redemption and freedom to us, so that we could live beyond that cross, because He didn't stay dead when He died there. He came out of the grave with life, and in Him we live and move and have our being. So He wants to impart that to us, but He went through many experiences like that. In Matthew 21, it says that, this is just before He was crucified, it says that the blind and the lame, verse 14, Matthew 21, 14, the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple and He healed them. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the healer? Amen. Indiscriminately, He pours healing out on people. Even some people that don't even believe in Him receive healing. How much more would His people who love Him receive from Him? Verse 15 says, but when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to Him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babies and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? And so, when you're feeling a little persecuted, just think about Jesus. In that place where He'd done wonderful things and been a blessing, and the religious people, the people who should have known better, the people who should have been leading the pack, were criticizing Him and criticizing the little children who were worshiping and praising Him. But Jesus took them back to the Word. He took them back to the Word, their own Bible, and said, take a look at this. Isn't this what it says? And he pointed them back to a place where they could have come out of that place and said, yeah, you're right, Jesus, we repent. But they didn't. They just hardened their hearts against him, and a few days later they crucified him. So Jesus, you're not alone when you experience things, because Jesus has already experienced those things. And out of his heart, he's made a way for you to come out of that place and come to a greater place than you are, a place of victory, a place of overcoming, and a place of blessing. Jesus actually quoted Psalm chapter 8 there when he said, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. In verse 1 of Psalm chapter 8, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. This is a psalm of praise to God written by David many years before Jesus was there in the temple healing people. And David had learned the secret of praise, and he penned many of his psalms of praise, his songs of praise, to help people come to a place of God that he had experienced when he was in difficult times and difficult places. But he says here, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You know, we're here to bring glory to God. We're here to glorify his name, to lift up his name. Because when we lift up his name, it brings his power, his presence, and his blessing on the scene. And then things can change. But if we're just in our own little molly grubs, or, you know, our little depression thing, or our little fear thing, or whatever, he can't do very much in our lives, because we've closed the door to our connection, our relationship with him. But when we begin to praise like these little children were praising, they just, you know, sometimes people say, well, kids don't know any better. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Amen.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says that the kingdom of God should be made up of people that are like those little kids that,
yes,
quote unquote, don't know any better. Amen. So we have to come to God in that spirit, the spirit of those kids who were worshiping him when he was coming into the place. Verse 2 says, out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. So he didn't quote the rest of that to those guys that were criticizing him. But we can go back there and we can look at that place and see that there's a strength in praise that seals, that shuts the mouth of the avenger. So if you've been suffering, if you've been under pressure, if you've been hurt, if you've been sad, if you've been depressed, if you've been missing somebody, missing something in your life, there's a place where you can shut the mouth of the one who's accusing you of putting pressure on you, who is trying to keep you down, trying to keep you from coming out of that place. You can shut his mouth, because there's a place of worship and a place of praise that has that effect. And with God's blessing and help this morning, we're going to get to that place. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to go back to the book, and I want to share with you a story of David, on how I believe he learned this principle of praise stills the avenger. Praise shuts the mouth of the one who's the oppressor. Most of you know the history of David. You know, he was a kid. He was, as a kid, he was a shepherd. Out on his shepherd watch, he did some interesting things. You know, he wrote lots of music. He became a musician. He played the harp or the lyre. He sang, evidently. He was a composer. He was kind of a poet guy. And probably that's why his brothers didn't like him so much, you know. Because when he came into the camp and there was this big giant taunting the Israelites, and King Saul was there, and the big men were all hiding in their tents because they were afraid of this giant. And David is saying, what's the matter with you guys? What's up with you guys? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should come against the armies of the living God? And just with the boldness, and his brothers got on him and said, "You snot-nosed kid, who sent you here anyway? You know, you thank you for bringing the cheese and the stuff, but why don't you just go back home?" But he just kept it up. He just says, "Who is this guy?" And finally he said, "You know, I killed the lion and I killed the bear out there. Who is this guy that's bigger than the lion or the bear? Because my God is bigger than all of them." Amen. But where did he learn that? How did he learn that? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16 that there's a place, I think, that if he didn't learn it there, he at least reinforced it there. This thing about what God will do when you worship and praise him. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Let's take a look there. It says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul." This is Saul was the king of Israel then. "And the Lord sent a tormenting spirit, an evil spirit," the footnote says, "that filled him with depression and fear." Now, just stop there for a second, you know, so don't mess up your theology about whether the Lord did this or whether it just happened to him. Or whether this is just reported according to the theology of the day. But the point is that when you leave God, you open yourself up to lots of stuff. And Saul had left God. And because he left God, there was a place in him where evil came in and affected his life, and it affected him with depression and fear. Verse 15 says, "Now some of Saul's servants said to him, 'A tormenting spirit from God is troubling you.'" So we know what their theology was. Their theology was it came from God. So we won't argue that point. Verse 16 says, "Let us find a good musician to play the harp. Whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you, he will play soothing music and you will soon be well again." Now, it's a nice thought, isn't it? Just play some nice music and everything will calm down. And there's some truth to that, isn't there? But what they're not really trusting in God to deliver their king. They're just wanting to fix this thing a little bit because he's a little out of sorts. And when he's out of sorts, it's trouble for everybody. So they're just saying, you know, just bring the musicians in. Let's have a little music in here, you know, give him a little wine and have a little music and everything's going to be nice. And it'll be better for all of us, right? So, I mean, it's good thinking. They're going to help this situation, amen? And a lot of times we get into that place where we're going to just help the situation. So we put a little Band-Aid here, a little Band-Aid there. We do a little of this and, you know, try to get a little encouragement from our friends and see something nice on Facebook, a good post, and then we'll be okay, you know, because everything is nice. But everything isn't nice if it's not nice inside. Amen. So they had a nice thought. "All right," Saul said, "find me someone who plays well and bring him here." So he's not thinking about, "I need deliverance. I want to connect with God. I want to get free from these demon spirits that are troubling me." He's just saying, "Okay, bring it on. Let's try this." As Sarah was saying before earlier, let's give this a try. Let's give this a whirl. So other stuff isn't working. Let's try this. Verse 18 says, "One of the servants said to Saul, 'One of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he is a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him.'" Okay, now we have one guy who has a sense of there's something more to this than somebody can come and play some nice music. So out of all those servants that Saul had, he had one guy who had some kind of connection with God. That guy was the answer. God's answer to help this man. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse saying, "Send me your son David, the shepherd." Jesse responded by sending David to Saul along with a young goat, a donkey loaded with bread, and a wineskin full of wine. So David went to Saul and began serving him, and Saul loved David very much, and David became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, asking, "Please let David remain in my service, for I'm very pleased with him." So when God's man comes on the scene, things begin to change for the better. Amen. And even an ungodly king whose heart isn't open to God can see that there's some benefit to this godly person coming on his team. Amen. And helping him. Now, many of you probably work in places where there's not a lot of godliness. And you might be that person that brings the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God, and the blessing of God to a place that otherwise would be cursed. That place may be your pulpit to minister to people, to preach the gospel, to get people healed and delivered from the power of the devil. But sometimes we're in those places and we think, "Get me out of this God miserable place." And yet God wants to use you in that place. Now, I'm not making your decisions for you, but God may be speaking to you that he wants to do some greater things if you'll just open your heart to him and connect with him in a special way. And it says there, verse 23, whenever that tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better and the tormenting spirit would go away. I think that's where David reinforced his knowledge of God that praise stills the avenger. So even with this hard-hearted king who refused to open his heart to God, when David began to worship God, the spirit of praise drove out the devil, the demons that were troubling this man. Now, we know that Saul never really turned around. He never really opened his heart to God. In all of this, he wouldn't repent and turn to God or receive his deliverance, because in some later verses, you see that when David was singing, he'd take his spear and try to pin him to the wall because those demons were driving him to this place. So instead of him getting better and opening his heart to God, he got worse and made it miserable for David. And then finally he chased him all over the desert trying to find him and kill him, because those depression spirits, those fear spirits, those insecurity spirits drove him to a place where they allowed murderous spirits to come into his life, and he began to attract all of these demons. And he was a tormented man until the day he died, and they nailed him to that wall at Gilboa and cut his head off. It's a tragic story. But in that, David learned a place in God of worship, a place of praise, a place where he could later write, you know, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, there's ordained strength that stills the avenger. David learned that well. So we know from the new covenant that when an evil spirit leaves, he wants his house back. And that's what happened to Saul. Those spirits would leave him, and then they would come back, many times with worse ones. We see, though, from this story, how powerfully the spirit of praise brings deliverance to even the most hardened person. And if we can see that power is in praise and worship to God, and understand that that's our connection to God, our relationship with God, our intimacy with God, our fellowship with him, on this side of the cross, how much more should people who are believers live in a place of victory and not let the desert overtake them, destroy them, and suck the life out of them? But yet many times we let ourselves get to that place. But this morning, we have a chance to reset that, because we can open our heart to worship and praise in a new way and let the Spirit of God minister that inside of us, so that we come out of this place with a spirit of worship, a spirit of praise, and a changed life. That's what I want for me, and I hope you want it for you too. So, let's take a look at the theology of Jesus concerning worship, because he's the one that we're following. Amen?
Amen.
He said we should be his disciples indeed and know the truth, and the truth would set us free. Amen? So the way we do that is to get into his word, abide in his word. So we're going to take a look here at Jesus' theology on worship. Now, theology is a study of religious faith, practice, and experience. And the dictionary says, especially the study of God and God's relation to the world. Now, that's just a dictionary. That isn't a religious definition. That isn't a spiritual definition, but it's a definition of the word theology. The study of God and his relation to the world. So let's take a look to see what Jesus' theology was on this. Because in the most unlikely place to conduct a class on theology, on worship, Jesus had an interesting class. It was a class of one. Jesus was alone with a woman who had a tainted reputation. And he gives this profound, prophetic, life-changing instruction from the heart of the Father. You know the story. It's the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Those of you who are involved with Revive with us, we use that story many times to show how Jesus loved that woman, listened to that woman, discerned what was going on in her life, discerned how to respond to her. And then he responded out of that and brought her to a new place where that woman came from a devastated life with lots of problems, ostracized from her community. She became a missionary to her community. She became an evangelist and went back and preached to the men of the city. I don't know what their wives thought, but that woman preached and they came to see Jesus. Her preaching must have been powerful and good preaching. Just from one session with Jesus, with some tremendous revelation on the worship of God. So we want to look at what did he tell this woman about worship. John chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus said to this woman, remember he had asked her initially, he had asked her for some water to drink, and she said, okay. And she confronts him about not having any, she didn't have anything to draw water from, but he had told her that if she knew who he was, she would ask water from him. And he would give her living water, water of life. And all of that kind of sparked some new things in her, and she's starting to discern he's a prophet, he's a man of God. And then out of that discourse comes this theology about worship. Jesus said to this, she's asking him about what's the right place to worship, here in our mountain or over in Jerusalem where you worship. So she's giving him some religious quizzes. And he comes back with a spiritual truth that just is like dynamite. He said, here's the reality of the thing is, it isn't about the mountain where you worship on, but here's the reality of it. He said, the time is coming, verse 23, John 4:23. Indeed, it's now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the secret that David learned those many years ago was the secret of worship, that worship stills the avenger. And Jesus said that the Father is looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. When that happens, it brings his power and his presence on the scene, and deliverance comes. Blessing comes. The anointing of God destroys the strongholds of the enemy. So the subject of this discourse, this little kind of one-line theology class with class of one unlikely woman to receive it, the subject of this whole thing is true worship. What kind of true worship? True worship. Maybe we could say pure worship, or we could say acceptable worship, or we could say premier worship. But the kind of worship that God wants to receive, not the kind that we perceive he should get, the kind he wants to receive is this kind of worship, the true worship. So that's the subject here. So the first point I want to make about that is, he first talks about the timing of it. It's a prophetic truth. It has to be that this pure worship has to be now. True worship has a starting point of time. And whatever point you make that, you really should make it now, because of the power and the presence of God that will come as a result of it. The true worshiper must get a revelation of the now, the urgency of the matter. It isn't something we should put off to someday, you know, when I have some time, I'm going to set aside some time to do it. You know what happens when we do that? We never get to that set aside time, do we? Because something always interrupts it or whatever, or we sleep in or whatever kind of thing. Something's going on and we don't get there. And it's not a time to be religious. It's not a time to be casual. It's not a time to be out of sync with God, and it's not a time to be distracted by our little devices or anything else. But the Word has a lot to say. In general, the Word of God has a lot to say about timing. The Word says now faith is. Now it is. It says, now these things happened as an example, and they were written for our instruction. It says, now is the time of salvation. It says, now you are the body of Christ and individual members. It says, now there are varieties of gifts in the same Spirit. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three. Now the Spirit of the Lord... Now the Spirit, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, not someday. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who gave me and gave himself for me. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off are brought near by the blood of Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about now and making it now. Now to him who is able to do a far abundantly more than we ask or think. At one time you were in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach. Now the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. To him be glory and both now and to the day of eternity. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. From our scripture today, the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. So Jesus is placing a time on when you should have this kind of worship and this kind of praise and this kind of connection. This true worship should be now, not someday. The second thing is that God is on a quest. What's his quest? He's looking for worshipers. Why is he looking for worshipers? We often kind of say, well, it's out of a matter of intimacy. You know, he wants to have relationship, fellowship with us. He created us for fellowship and things. But a lot of times we neglect to think about what covenant intimacy and relationship releases, the power it releases, the blessing it releases. The secret power of praise is unleashed in a world that's hijacked by the devil when we enter into that place of worship and praise. That power is released to you. So not only does God set a time, but He's on a quest to find people who will come to that place so that His power and blessing can be released in a place where it's dark, in a place where it's desperate, in a place where there's need, in a place where you can minister not only into your own life, but into somebody else's life. Because that's what God's called us to do. David learned that secret. True worship transforms an outsized, outnumbered, underarmed David into a lion, bear, giant, conquering hero of faith. And He'll do the same thing for you. You know, maybe you don't see yourself that way, but you need to see yourself that way. In that place of worship, you need to see yourself as more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I'm going to conquer this situation. I'm going to worship God. Amen. And His power is going to bring blessing. It's going to bring anointing. It's going to destroy the avenger and all of his stuff. I'm going to come to that place where I'm just worshiping and the blessing of God is coming. Praise the Lord. So the point is, God is looking for such person. He's looking for you. Is He going to find you there? Maybe that's what the title of this message is. God is looking. Is He going to find you? Is He going to find you in that place where you're bringing that place of worship, where it just puts the presence of God right on that thing and drives the devil crazy? Amen. Let's put some hurt on the devil this morning. Yes. Amen. He's been hurting people around you. He's been hurting you. He's been hurting your family. So let's put the hurt on him. Yes. Let's bring a place of worship and praise that destroys the avenger. Yes. Amen. Last week, you know, we talked a little bit about, on resurrection, about the earthly body that we lived in will get raised up. 1 Corinthians 15:23 says, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then he's coming for those who belong to Christ. And then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he's put his enemies under his feet. But I want to submit to you, the Bible says Jesus is the head of the church and we're the body. And when he went to the cross, he destroyed the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. He triumphed over them in it. So if he's the head and we're the body and we've got some feet, let's put the devil under our feet. Amen. Amen. With a place of worship and praise. So the first point is, there's a time. It's now. Second is, God's looking for you. There's a quest of God. He's reaching out for you. The third is, there's a command of God, a mandate, maybe we could call it, a mandate of God. A mandate is like a formal order. So what formal order did Jesus get? He said, those who worship him must, everybody say must. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is looking for these people, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So what does that mean? That means me on the backside of the desert, mouthing some words, but my heart is 1,000 miles away. My mind is 1,000 miles away. That doesn't get it. It's like fake worship. It's like fake news, you know. It's fake. It's pretend. That's not going to get it. Letting others worship for you is not going to work either. My grandma's a prayer warrior. Yeah, what about you? What about me? My friend is really close to God. Yeah, but what about you? The Bible says if you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Amen? And so that's really what Jesus is saying to this. God is looking for somebody who worships in the Spirit. Be honest about it. Be honest and say, God, I'm broken and I'm coming to you. I'm broken and I need you. I'm hurting and I want you in my life. I want this thing fixed. I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to be dealing with this 10 years from now, 5 years from now, a month from now. I want out of this thing. I want you. More than anything. So here's the point. God is looking for you. Will he find you? F- fleshed out performance isn't going to work. The fog machine and the black lights, they may create an atmosphere and evoke some emotions. But it's not a substitute for worshiping God. It's not a substitute for the Spirit of God coming into a place and touching your heart and touching your life. Jesus said, the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. For God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So let's do that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.